Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what I said.
That's Jerry Jones as we welcome you back to the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Yesterday, saying that a trade was going to be consummated. And that is just classic NFL lingo. Well, Chelsea, here we are. And I said during the first hour of this show, I don't believe Jerry. I don't believe him. There's no way there's actually a trade in place. Well, okay. There is a trade, I guess. But this isn't really a trade that moves the needle. So yes, Jerry was right, but no wonder this was not reported.
So the spin on this is crazy. Because if you look at this, as reported by Adam Schefter, there is a positive spin on it. He says Logan Wilson was the Bengals' leading tackler from 2021 to 2023 before missing the last six games of 2024. Please note that he did not mention this year, where Logan Wilson no longer is a starter on the Bengals defense, who is one of the worst defenses in NFL history. Now he has been relegated to special teams. And here's the worst part. Logan Wilson's not even that cheap. He's on a four-year, $36 million deal that still has two more years on it. So why did the Cowboys make this trade? Like, I understand they were trying to make a trade, but Logan Wilson, a linebacker from the Bengals, who I repeat, have one of the worst defenses in NFL history, and he still wasn't a starter this year. This is the big trade that he talked to Stephen A. Smith about? Come on, man.
That's the thing. Like, okay, fine, you did make a trade, but for a special teamer? Like, when you mentioned that, like, hey, we're getting ready to make a move, fine. I said I would apologize to Jerry if he made a trade. I'm sorry. My bad. Half-assed apology. Like, come on. This isn't a trade that you make if you're trying to really improve your football team. Yes, it is a trade. Okay, you're taking on some more money, but I don't understand the end game here. Am I missing something?
I think he was just trying to hype it up, to draw up interest. And then this was like, because remember that quote was before the Cowboys game, right? And then the Cowboys lose. Then they make this trade that I don't know why he was trying to hype it up. But apparently, like, this is more on Logan Wilson, who requested to be traded from the Bengals because he wasn't playing.
Right.
So it feels like he had to request a trade to a team where maybe he would play. And so that has to be a worse defense than the terrible defense that he was on. And who fits the bill? The Cowboys, another terrible defense.
God bless America. What is Jerry doing here? I mean, I go back to what you said in the first hour, which I think he's just like trying to get attention because he didn't make a trade. We're talking about it right now. Okay, did the Cowboys make a trade? Yeah, they did. They made a trade. And then you're like, oh, we barely even noticed it. Normally, if there had been a big trade, a big move, this would be breaking news. We'd be talking about it. We'd be all over. It's like, oh, yeah, Cowboys made a move. You know what I mean?
Well, this is the same deal. Weren't we talking about this earlier? Where before the season, I forget it was whatever offseason where Derrick Henry was a free agent.
Yeah.
Or was up for another team. And so Jerry was like floating these rumors that they're going to make a big trade. And people are like, oh, they're going to get Derrick Henry. They're going to get Derrick Henry. They did not get Derrick Henry. And in fact, they have somebody, they got somebody who I don't even remember at the time. So this is not the first time that he has tried to drum up attention. And it's been like crying wolf. But we know Jerry Jones and we know that he loves attention. At some point, we've got to stop listening. Like, at some point, this is our fault for continuing to talk about Jerry Jones and a Cowboys team that just isn't relevant anymore.
I think that's just it, is that as much Jerry, as much as he loves winning, and of course, everyone loves to win, ultimately, Jerry loves the attention and the attention that comes with winning. And when you're not winning, what is left? It's just the attention. So if you're Jerry, how do you continue to generate that attention? It's to appear in front of the media each week. It's to talk to Stephen A. Smith. It's to call in to local radio shows. Like, it's amazing. Imagine here in D.C., D-Day, if Josh Harris called in every week to a radio show.
It'd be my nightmare. I mean, the clip that we've been playing is actually Jerry in his press conference after the football game that he does every single week. Because Jerry Jones speaks at the same time as the coaching staff.
Like, that's crazy. And yet, here we are. No other owner does this, but this is just typical Jerry where you end up talking about it, but ultimately it's much ado about nothing.
Okay, so where is rock bottom for the Cowboys? Because I keep thinking that we've hit it, and then they have another game. Like last night, they get beat by 10 points as favorites at home to a team that lost five straight games, if I'm not mistaken, who is also starting a backup quarterback. Like, at what point is it rock bottom for the Cowboys? Like, how do things get worse from here?
I don't know. The Cowboys are just going to flounder through the season, and Jerry will say something crazy from time to time, and they'll win some games because their offense is really good. Wasn't great last night, but they have plenty of talent. Their defense just is devoid of talent, and so they'll meander through the season. They'll have a losing record. They're not going to make the playoffs. Jerry will say something crazy every couple of weeks, like, we're going to consummate a trade. A trade that doesn't move the needle, and we'll talk about it again, and it's going to be rinse and repeat. And that's why Cowboys fans are so over it. Like, this is the same thing they see each and every single year. And even when they are winning, even when they do have a successful regular season, what's going to happen? They're going to flame out in the playoffs. I mean, the Cowboys have not done anything under Jerry in 30 years. Three decades, really. That's remarkable to think about. Under his ownership, he was just this bright fireball, he and Jimmy, and they win all these Super Bowls, and then they've just been living on reputation ever since, really.
I think it's one of those things where it's really frustrating, or it has to be frustrating for Cowboys fans, because it's not like Jerry Jones isn't willing to spend money. Like, he has paid some of his superstars handsomely, but the problem is, he just doesn't make smart moves. Like, this latest one, where he's paying, you know, a pretty sizable contract for a linebacker who wasn't even starting, you know, for a bad defense. And you're adding that to, you know, the cap space. And I don't know all of the numbers, you know, on the top of my head. But the bottom line to me is that Jerry Jones is making moves, but he's not making the right ones.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Well, Jerry took an L last night because it was the Cardinals handling the Cowboys 27-17. The Cards getting 3 points. They're plus 145 on the money line. Total set at 54. The under hits. Jacoby Brissett getting a start for an injured Kyler Murray. And he comes through.
First and goal from the 12. Brissett lets it fly. End zone, McBride. Touchdown.
Call courtesy of ESPN. Trey McBride, 5 catches, 55 yards in that score. Brissett, 21 of 31, 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, including one to Marvin Harrison Jr., who catches 7 passes for 96 yards. And the Cards in their 5-game losing streak, if you were able to watch this game in the first place.
Ah, yes. Some of us had to find creative ways to watch this game, but we did watch it. Even though if you're trying to like angle for more customers to push for the carriage dispute, and the Cowboys and the Cardinals is not the game that I would have put on the pedestal and be like, this is the product that you're missing. But the Cardinals certainly deserve their flowers for a win here, snapping that 5-game skid. And Jacoby Brissett has done a fine job filling in for Kyler Murray. But now the story is going to be, okay, so when And if Kyler Murray comes back, is he really the entrenched starter? Or do you stick with Jacoby Brissett, who got your team a win last night, albeit against a bad Cowboys defense? But Jenks, if anybody cared about the Cardinals, this would be a quarterback controversy that we would be talking about much, much more.
They got to start Kyler, right? Tyler Murray? Is he a guy? Did he play for a while in the NFL? What do they say that they're soft benching? That's the rumor. They're soft benching Kyler Murray. And that was the rumor in Minnesota, too, that they were kind of soft benching J.J. McCarthy until they started him this past weekend. Like, he was healthier than they let on. And then Carson Wentz is out and was playing and banged up. And then, okay, let's put J.J. back in. Please don't let this become a thing in the NFL where we're soft benching guys. We don't want to say we're benching them. We're just saying, we'll sit you out for a while. That's being benched. You're getting benched. You know? Ultimately, when the Cardinals are paying Kyler Murray this much money, I can't imagine they would sit him. But then again, you know, Jacoby looked really good last night. Marvin Harrison had his best game of the season. That's a season high in catches with 7. He looked really good. I mean, that's a factor as well. I guess it's a possibility. But generally, when teams are paying for a franchise quarterback, they're going to play that franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. And this feels different than J.J. McCarthy, who is a young quarterback. Kyler Murray has been in the league for quite some time now. Even though it feels like he is older than 28, he is 28 years old. And he's somebody who's had some good seasons in the NFL. Like, remember, I know people love to forget this. There was a season at the midway point where Kyler Murray actually had a case to be made for winning MVP. It was the season where him and DeAndre Hopkins had this great connection. But, like, there's a good quarterback in there somewhere. We just have not seen it in quite some time. And then there's the other stuff where it's like, okay, he's playing video games too much. He doesn't want to be there, you know. So I don't know how much of that stuff is actually true. It just feels like there has been a lot of noise when it comes to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. But at this juncture in the season, I feel like if you're the head coach, like, you're just trying to win games. So maybe if Jacoby Brissett gives you the better chance to win football games, because isn't that the tagline that it feels like every coach says? We're going to start the quarterback who gives us the best chance to win, even though they have not said that about Jacoby Brissett just yet. So again, these are just rumors and whispers, but still, the Cardinals do have a decision to make over the next few weeks.
It'll be interesting. And didn't the Cardinals season just go wrong after that loss to your Titans, when they just gave the game away? Like, wasn't that the real turning point for them? Like, that's one of those games where, I mean, who is it? DeMarcado lets the ball loose before he crosses the goal line. I mean, that was just an abject disaster. Then they give it away late and the Titans score. Like, a game like that, when you lose, I mean, no offense to a team that bad, and you give it away, it feels like that's when the Cardinals season just took a nosedive and they've just never really recovered.
Well, to be fair, I don't think they had sky-high expectations for this team entering the season, or at least we didn't, because, again, it feels like nobody cares about the Arizona Cardinals. But I will say, if we're going to say something nice about Arizona, maybe we talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., because he had a breakout game in this one, made some great catches, and they talked about this on the broadcast, where he has been getting pointers from who else? His dad, who has been coaching him up when it comes to his footwork, you know, some of the technical things about being a receiver. So it felt like this was the first game where everything kind of came together. And so if there is one good takeaway, is that it feels like the confidence level in Marvin Harrison Jr. is officially back.
Yeah, I'm glad for him, because early in the season when he was dropping passes, you saw him lose his confidence. Wasn't there that video of him on the sideline saying, "I'm playing like ass, bro"? He just said that, like, "I am playing terrible football." And he has all the tools. Like, he has the lineage, which we know, but this guy still has all of the tools to be a superstar in the NFL. But if you get in your head and you're starting to worry about how you're performing, it can absolutely affect how you get out there and how you get it done, or if you don't get it done on the field. So a night like last night, albeit against a bad Cowboys defense, I mean, he did look great. That one shot of CeeDee Lamb going, oh, dang. Like, this guy, that was an amazing move to get in the end zone and get that touchdown. Sometimes it takes a performance like that to kind of get your mojo back and then to sort of move on for the rest of the season and sort of fulfill the expectations that you have going into a season, because he worked really hard during the offseason to bulk up a little bit, to improve from his rookie season. And so, look, we're only halfway through the year, so we could absolutely see that from Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right, and I think mentally, like, the spot that Marvin Harrison Jr. was in, especially when you're on a losing team, when the vibes are not good, it is tougher to stay the course and keep your confidence in that situation. So last night, not only did Marvin Harrison Jr. have a better game, they got a win. And I understand it's one win. The Cardinals are probably not going to win the Super Bowl. But from a mentality standpoint, this had to help the vibes.
It absolutely did. Well, coming up next, what are the vibes going to be tonight when the college football playoff rankings are finally released? We'll talk about that, what we expect, and who should be where. That's coming up next on The Daily Tip here on the MGM Network.
Please listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Gamble responsibly.
Welcome back to the show, The Daily Tip on a Bet MGM Network. Chelsea, you might have to take over here. My computer's dying. I mean, I'm all right. I'm dying. I'm okay. But the computer, I left my typical for the way things have gone with the Commanders this season. I left my power cord at the stadium on Sunday night when I was doing the pregame show. So that thing's gone. So this computer is running on fumes right now. I got about 38 minutes left. It's going to be right there at the edge. Yeah,
you're golden.
We'll see.
38 minutes.
We'll see.
Let me ask you, when do you start to panic when it comes to battery levels? Because it's wild now, the difference between certain people when it comes to their phone. I live in low power mode, and I understand this is iPhone talk, and you're not an iPhone user.
I'm not.
But I feel like it's the same, you know, discussion about personality that you can kind of surmise from, like, what people do with their phones. Because we all know that chaotic person who their phone is always on like 6%. And you're like, should you be charging your phone right now? They're like,
yes.
Nah, I'm good. Like, what are you doing? So what's the level for you?
Oh, I don't like it when my phone's around 60%.
Ooh.
Honestly. Seriously. I'm like, whoa. Which the lovely Catherine will be like, oh, I'm at 6%. I'm like, 6? And now my phone can charge hers, which is, you know, kind of nice. I mean, it's not crazy, but I can hit a setting on my phone and put her iPhone on top of my phone, and it'll charge her phone to kind of like give her a little extra juice if necessary. So that's nice. We don't do that too often, but I start getting around 50 or 60 and I get nervous because I'm always worried about running out, which never happens. I think I can count the number of times on one hand when I actually ran out of juice.
Well, yeah, because you're cautious, and clearly you are on top of it when it comes to charging your phone. I don't think I get nervous until 25%.
Okay.
Like, under 20 is when I really start to worry. But, like, if I'm going to be gone the entire day, I'll worry at 50 or 60%. Like, especially when you're traveling. Like, when I'm traveling, I'm charging my phone at the airport, even if it's, like, 75%. I'm like, we need to be 100% for this flight because I am not raw-dogging this flight. I need to be watching movies, shows, whatever. I cannot be sitting there in silence.
Is that thing over now, that trend of raw-dogging? Finally,
which is
the dumbest trend I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you're doing it because you want to be alone with your thoughts and you just need to think, which I think is a healthy thing, like be alone with yourself. A lot of people can't do that without sort of being able to handle like what sort of comes up from the surface. You'd be amazed at what is in your subconscious. But if you're just sitting there to prove a trend, then it's just like, I don't know. Is that still a thing? Denton, you would know.
I am the king of, I guess, raw dogging knowledge on the program. I don't believe that's a thing anymore. Okay. I think the new trend is raw dogging an hour out of your day to get your system back on track.
I see.
No phone, no music, no All nothing. Right. You just sit in silence. You know, maybe start a little bit lower because just jumping into an hour feels tough.
Okay.
But I feel like that's in raw dogging on flights out.
Okay. Interesting.
How many times are we going to say raw dogging on the show?
Not enough.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like if I'm going to be without my phone and you really want to decompress, like do it on like a hike or like a walk outside. I don't want to do it on a flight. We're just recycled air and you're literally just sitting there. And all I'm thinking about is like, hey, when's the next bout of turbulence? Like, I need my mind occupied. But, like, I get it that you need to clear your mind, just not on a flight for me.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, that would drive me crazy. I don't know how people do it. I really don't. Well, Chelsea, one thing that we both know and agree on is that tonight we're going to have a lot to talk about when the official rankings for the college football playoff are finally released. So, what's going to happen here? I mean, I feel like when you look at this, we're basically dealing with, we know who the top teams are, right? We know it's going to be Ohio State. We know it's going to be Texas A&M. We know it's going to be Indiana. After that, what's going to happen? And who should be number one? Is it Ohio State, or will you be willing to make an argument for Indiana?
Here's where it depends on your view of the committee. Like, if you believe in positivity and you give the committee the benefit of the doubt, I think Indiana should be number one. Like, if all this nonsense they've been spewing about, you know, who has the best quality win and, you know, we're going to make good wins count for way more and punish people for bad losses, which I know doesn't go into the category of Ohio State versus Indiana. But if you look at Ohio State's schedule, and by no fault of their own, because I don't think we saw Texas, you know, falling from grace, or at least, you know, in the last few weeks, I know they're on the come up. And then Penn State being unranked, there were good games on the schedule for Ohio State, but now you look at their schedule and you're like, okay, what's their signature win? Like, do we just put them up there just because they're Ohio State and because, you know, they're innocent until proven guilty? Whereas the opposite's not true for Indiana. Yeah. They have to prove everything. And, you know, they went on the road to Oregon. That is a huge win for Indiana. So at what point do you look at, you know, the resumes in front of you and you take the names off the top of the resume and you say, okay, this team actually has a more impressive resume, and you give that title to Indiana. So I think Indiana should be number one, but Jenks, how much do you trust the committee? Because I think they say all of this stuff, but at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want.
I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I think Ohio State should be number one. I do. But I also understand the argument for Indiana. I would be stunned if the committee says we're going to put Indiana number one, but I would kind of love it. I mean, don't you feel like this is where Indiana's just not going to get enough credit for being Indiana? You know, they're the Hoosiers. You guys are supposed to be good at basketball, not at football. That's a thing that it's going to take people to get time to get over, even now. But Ohio State, I will say, is just winning games with surgical precision. Like, what Julian Sain is doing is unbelievable. He's completing passes at like an 80% clip. Ohio State is boring, and I mean that in the best way possible. They just go out, they win. They go out, they win. They go out and win. That's why Sain right now is the Heisman Trophy favorite, plus 175. But then you have Fernando Mendoza right there, plus 225. It's going to be interesting to see how much credit the committee really gives to Indiana here. We're going to find out.
Yeah. I think the most interesting part, though, is what happens at the bottom. Because I do think, like, all these teams are going to get in. At the end of the day, like, if you're in and you're one of at least the top few teams, like, maybe the bracketology, like, works out a little different where you don't get the best matchup. But, like, my point being is that they're in. So I think this is the biggest deal for some of these teams towards the bottom of, like, who's going to make it to the college football playoff. But then I look at some of these teams and I'm like, okay, how much do these rankings matter when the season isn't over yet? And we still have some really big games on the schedule. Most notably for your team, Jenks, Texas still has a big game against Georgia this week, where if they beat Georgia on the road, that is a massive seismic win for Texas. And then they have Arkansas. And then they have Texas A&M to close out the year. So if they win those games, like, Texas is going to be on the come up in a major way. But then the question mark is, how about if they win one of those games? And you say to yourself, okay, if we're not punishing losses against really good teams, do you still give Texas some credit? Or is the narrative that they had at the first of the season too much to overcome, where people say, no, we're out on Texas?
Ah, God, it's going to be tough. If they get in, it'll be right there at the edge. Do you know what I mean? It'll be, you know, one of the last teams to get in, and people will debate about it. And I also wonder, too, and I don't necessarily think this is fair, but let's be honest. We're talking about money at stake. We're talking about attention. And you can't convince me that this committee doesn't take that into account. Like, brand matters when you're talking about all of the factors that go into deciding which teams go where, right? Because if you can make somewhat of a case for a blue blood, then you probably put them in over a school where you can make a case, maybe a stronger case, but they don't have the brand name. You know what I mean? So that always gives Texas an advantage. I'm not saying that's fair. I think they probably need to win out. It's that Florida loss that is a killer, right? If you had a loss to Ohio State, you had a loss to Georgia. And remember, they still have Arkansas and A&M. But I will say this. If they have three losses, and maybe they lose to Georgia but beat A&M, then you got A&M and Vandy. This is why the SEC wants to expand the playoff, right? Because the SEC is such a gauntlet where you have really good teams that could probably compete with the top 12 teams in the country, but one of those SEC teams gets left out because of the strength of schedule. I don't necessarily agree with that. I like a smaller playoff. I don't think everyone deserves to get in, but that's where that argument comes from.
I do think no matter how you slice it, like, somebody's going to be mad at the end of the season.
Yes, always.
Because we always see these cases, and it's right. And at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we have 12 teams now. Like, maybe just be better, and you should have won more games. Because we talked about this earlier, like the case for Miami over Notre Dame. Because from a very simplistic standpoint, you say Miami and Notre Dame are both 6-2, and
right.
Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head. But if the committee believes in, like, some of the tropes that they're saying and saying, hey, we're going to punish you more for bad losses, Miami has a loss, albeit in overtime, to an unranked SMU team. So right now, as we stand, Miami would be out. But you know those Hurricane fans are going to be real mad if they look at Notre Dame. They're like, hey, that's the team that we beat head-to-head. What's going on here?
It's true. So that's the question. How much do you put into head-to-head victories versus what have you done for me lately, right? All things being equal, you say, okay, well, you got to give Miami the edge here. But Miami hasn't looked good recently. You know, you can go either way in that argument. How do you feel? Do you tend to go with, look, it's head-to-head? I feel like that's kind of how you feel. But I don't want to speak for you. Then that should be the ultimate sort of qualifier or the one thing that puts one team above the other.
I think it's just really tough because I think, you know, in a perfect world, you would say it's the eye test at the end of the year. Because, you know,
right.
if you lose a game first week of the season, like we've seen this even in the rankings before, that it doesn't matter as much as a team that feels like they are flailing at the end of the year. Because at the end of the day, you want the best possible games in the college football playoff. But it's just tough for this committee where I say this, and I understand they do whatever they want, but like you want to point at the data and the resumes and the stats and the wins and losses and have a justification other than just the eye test. Because I feel like people
right.
don't love that when they're just like, hey, eye test, this team is better. And they're like, we'll prove it. You know, they lost this game.
right.
So it's just, you know, start the circle of arguing between all the college football fans. But I do think the eye test should matter some because as I'm looking at these rankings, like, do we think Virginia is one of the top 12 teams in the country?
No.
Like, granted, I haven't watched a ton of Virginia football, but it's just, like, do we think they're better than Vanderbilt? Even Georgia
no.
Tech, who lost to my Wolfpack over the weekend, is still a good team. So it's one of those things where it is a delicate balance of using the resume and all of these, you know, things that they laid out at the first of the season, and also balancing the eye test because, again, this is a money-making venture, and you want good games in the college football playoff.
I didn't ask you about that. I missed a day. How did it feel for your NC State Wolfpack? Well, I see your face. That says you don't care. You beat Georgia Tech. That's a huge win.
I feel like they always do this, and this is how Dave Doran sticks around, because we get like one signature win, and they're like, whoa, NC State football's good again.
They did it.
And then next week we'll lose to like Boston College or somebody. So like we do this, we'll like play with our hair on fire 1 week a year, or usually we'll beat UNC, which that does feel good because we hate the Tar Heels. But it just makes me think that we're never going to get rid of Dave Doran. He's going to be there forever because he always comes out with like one good win a season.
Well, I will say, you got it done. Very impressive. Well done. As far as tonight goes, is there a team that you're most curious about? Like, I'm curious about Texas Tech because I think the Red Raiders are very talented. They haven't played the strongest schedule. They've been blowing out teams, but that's what you're supposed to do. When you have your schedule in front of you, all you can do is play those teams. And I'm very curious to see what the committee thinks of Texas Tech, because you don't necessarily put them in the top tier, but they're hanging around and they're super talented. And these guys, I feel like, can play with anyone. But what does the committee think?
I think that's one of those teams where the metrics kind of justify it, because there's no team that's been more of a metrics darling, you know, that's kind of not at the top than Texas Tech. Like, if you look at all of their numbers, they're very easy to make a case for. But again, if you're a team like Georgia Tech and you're sitting at 16 and you're saying, hey, we're 8-1 as well, even though the ACC doesn't really have a ton of legs to stand on when it says our conference is good. So I don't know. It just feels like this circular argument where, again, so many people are going to be mad and so many teams are going to have like at least somewhat of a case to be angry about these ratings. But at the end of the day, the first set of rankings do not matter. Like, a lot of this stuff will play itself out. Like, especially with some of these teams who, you know, play these big rivalry games at the end of the season. And I know we have like 15 seconds left.
Now you're good.
But it will be interesting.
We're doing it old school here. It's giving me the cues with the, the throw. We got to go. We got 15 seconds left. Come on next on the show. See what the doctor's up to. Also, best bets. Oh, God. I guess that's going to be NBA. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the Bet MGM Network. Welcome back to the show, the Daily Tip on the Bet MGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday. Michael Jenkins, she is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, who knows? Our best bets coming your way. You doing NBA tonight? Is that what you're doing? Yeah.
I am.
Let's go. I'm going to start from now until the end of the year either a GoFundMe campaign or a radio campaign to get D-Day a Tumblr. If you have Odyssey points, 30 points a month?
You get 30 points a month that you can freely distribute, which I've already given all of you guys 10 points. I use my 30 of the month, so I gave all you guys 10 points.
Thank you.
Chelsea's thrilled. She's like, yes, I love Odyssey points. But if you get 325, you get a Stanley.
Ooh.
With a nice, beautiful Odyssey logo. I'm a company man, so I can't think of anything better than a Stanley with a nice Odyssey logo on it.
Oh, dude, I wonder.
It's like 40 ounces, too.
Yeah. I got to check my points. I don't think I've ever spent them. Oh, man, I got to check those. All right. If you're listening and you work for Odyssey, transfer Denton your points. 30 points. Come on. Get the man a Stanley. Early Christmas gift. Why not?
See, here's where we're different. When he says that, I'm like, why wouldn't you just go buy it? I'm so lazy. Like, I don't want to have to work for things. Like, when I can go to the store and purchase this with my own money, I'm going to go that route. Like, when there's two paths, like, I'm going to take the easier one.
Just purchase it. Can you purchase that?
Just buy it.
I don't know if you can.
Well, how much a Stanley Cup? Yeah.
Cost? How much does that cost?
I don't know. $30?
I think it's more than that.
Damn, girl. $30.
We're not gonna Is
have
it?
My wonderful coworkers give it. Gifted to me for free.
Oh, yeah, I think it's
not money out of their pocket.
Do you want me to buy you a Stanley for Christmas? I think I have $30 to spend.
Sure.
I'm not saying
have a loving home.
Do it.
I'm not
and
saying
then get
that I'm rolling
pot.
In money, But if this is like your dream and it's only $30 away, like I'm willing to, you know, fulfill that dream for you.
All right. Send me a crock pot. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. Also,
that's even cheaper.
Is it? I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I'm a dullard. I have no idea. If you ask me how much a crock pot was, like if I were on the Price is Right, I'd be like, I don't know, $40. You're out right? Close?
It can't be that far off. Like, I would say, like, it depends on what brand you get and how big it is. But, like, Jenks, I know that you have good investments. Like, I think you can afford to spend $30. Like, how much is two drinks at a bar in D.C.? Let me ask you that, because I'm pretty sure you be buying drinks at bars.
Well, for a while. We'll see. I got to save up for the end of the year. Make sure I have some money in the savings. A lot of gifts to buy.
It's a gift for yourself.
Yeah.
A gift for yourself.
I deserve it.
Treat yourself.
Treat myself. Just give me a soda water. Let me just enjoy myself. Oh, battery's running low. Here we go. You might want to plug in your PC. Yeah. I know it. I guess that's my cue to move on. What are you doing today? We got a little time here.
Oh, Blake doesn't have school. Apparently, they don't have school on Election Day, which I don't know how that makes sense.
Really?
It's like, hey, we want you to vote, but you got to figure out your kids for the people who have jobs. So I don't know what this, you know, why they do this. But, like, luckily, it doesn't really affect me because, you know, I'm done with work at 8 a.m. But we will have a day of family time. So I don't know what time Blake is waking up. But I will be in charge of her all day, which means there will be a lot of entertaining on deck. We will be doing crafts. We will be watching Gabby's Dollhouse. It's going to be a full day.
Man, are you all caught up on Gabby's Dollhouse, or is that just like, does it just keep on going? I know nothing about children's shows.
Ah, well, it's like any normal TV show. Oh. And once you get to the end of a season, you know, that's it for now. They have to make a new season. We've seen the new movie. We've seen all the seasons. But we rewatch because Blake does not care. Like, she's like me. She likes rewatching old shows and shows that she's already seen before. She kind of knows what's coming. So we watch it a lot.
Ah, that sounds awesome. All right. Well, enjoy. I got to go to the dermatologist. That's no fun. Yeah, boring. God. And that's just like a regular checkup, like nothing major, just like boring stuff. You know me and the doctors.
Boring.
Like,
when is your fifth doctor visit free? I feel like you got a lot of time, you know, with the doctors.
I've never had the best health. What's that? I know. I need like a punch card. I'm like, hey, welcome back. No copay for you, Jenkins. Awesome.
You get a free colonoscopy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Come on. Of all the free things to get, you know. Oh, thanks. I'll never come back. Come on, next to Bet Sweats. No idea. Joe, Sammy P, they'll have a good time. You'll have a good time. We're all having a good time. And don't forget, we're always on YouTube. If you want to check out the Daily Tip along with all of our shows on a BetMGM network, just go to YouTube. We're always there. All right, let's pick some winners and get on the right side.
Time to place your bets.
Chelsea, I got to tell you, NBA, I wrote down absolutely nothing, so I'm just going to roll with it here. What do you got?
All right, best bet in quotation marks is in the NBA, and we're going to go with the Orlando Magic laying 3.5 on the road at the Hawks tonight. So we've already seen this matchup before, and the Hawks won the first iteration of these two teams meeting. But the difference in that game is that they had Trae Young. Trae Young's now going to be out for the next 4 weeks with a knee sprain. So he was a big factor in the first game. Between these two, I think he made like 4 points in the final like 45 seconds, and the Hawks won it 111-107. And he also scored 25 points. So if he's out of the lineup, that is a huge hole in the offense that the Hawks will have to fill. And meanwhile, the Magic's best player, Paolo Banchero, was abysmal in that game. Only 4 of 15 from the field, 0 of 5 from the three-point line. I would imagine he has a better game in this one simply because we have seen that from the rest of the season. He's averaging over 23 points per game. So with those momentum swings, I think the Magic get the job done here. So let's go Magic, laying the 3.5 against the Hawks.
I knew it. Computer just shut down. I got nothing. Oh. Look at this. There's nothing. Story of my life. Oh. Just a bunch of nothing. It's my new avatar. hire me for all your IT needs. Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So we're going Raptors laying 4.5 tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a big number. Why are the Raptors laying 4.5 against Milwaukee? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Milwaukee got a big win last night against the Pacers. Giannis had that shot at the buzzer, that turnaround, fall away, knocked it down. Incredible shot. But I don't know if he's going to play tonight. We keep hearing that he's questionable, and you know it's just going to be load management. He's totally fine. But this is the first time all season it has been the back end of a back-to-back for Milwaukee. So the line is telling you that Giannis probably won't play, that the Bucks are going to be tired. At the Raptors, who have been very middling this season, have the advantage. The line points that way. This is screaming, take the Bucks. But remember, Giannis probably out of the lineup here. So it's not my favorite bet. It's my first NBA bet of the year. Yay. Let's go Raptors -4.5 tonight in Toronto.
I do feel at least like the logic makes sense, though, because if there's somebody who's going to be taken out of the lineup, like Giannis is one of the biggest holes to fill because he's averaging over 30 points a game. He's a defensive powerhouse, and you know he's going to pull down some rebounds as well. So you take him out of the lineup for a Bucks team that's not especially deep. It feels like the odds makers probably got this one right, but look at us not being very humble about our NBA bets. I'm sure the basketball gods will be humbling us soon. Just hopefully not tonight.
I don't want to brag, but I just got 10 Odyssey points from D-Day. Thank you, my friend. Look at that. That's how you end the show right there, right? You get a winner on your best bet, and you get some Odyssey points. By God, we're getting that, Stanley. Or D-Day. It's going to happen. We're going to make it happen.
I wonder what else is in the
If not, we'll start a GoFundMe.
Gift shop.
Is there?
$30. Well, like, Jenks, the craziest thing is that people have started GoFundMes for lesser reasons than this.
Oh, God.
Have you ever seen this on people's, like, Facebook pages? And they're like, I went to the dentist and it's a lot to get my wisdom teeth removed. Please donate to my GoFundMe page. It's like, did you lose your job? Did somebody have their house burned down? No, it's just a lot of money. Like, work.
Well, all right. Sorry. Like you can't dumb down the GoFundMe. Seriously. Like, those are for serious issues. Mm-hmm. Like, for health reasons or for, you know, someone who needs a Stanley Cup really bad. You know?
Yeah.
Really deserves it. Who's worked really hard. Those two reasons. The only
two
reasons.
Yeah, because then wants the name brand Stanley. He does not want the knockoff Target version.
Yeah.
He is very brand decisive. So I don't care about Stanley. Like, what's the difference between Stanley and
company
the other
guy? Ones? He doesn't want, like, the Hanley Cup.
Because it doesn't have my company's logo on it, Chelsea. I am for the team.
God.
Yeah. With all, what,
I
no
can
matter
draw
the
it on for you. Give me a Sharpie.
You can do that.
No, we can do that.
You might actually be able to use an Odyssey point to get a Sharpie.
That's
got
true.
A lot of things in here.
That's true. All right. Do you want to talk to the Donkster? Give this guy a shot?
Sure.
Donkster, just come on in. Let's see what happens.
There's going to be a trade.
What?
I'm telling you, a trade has been made.
Is this a Jerry Jones bit?
Only if something's gonna be consummated.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm gonna bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no.
That sounds about right. All right. Do you have a bet for us?
I do. Blue Jays, money line, taking on the Dodgers.
Donkster, the World Series is over. You gotta get with the now. We need an NBA bet.
Okay, Thunder -75 against the Clippers.
Nailed it.
Oh, man, I was gonna say great to have you back. Not so sure about that. All right. So now our goals are set, okay? The Odyssey Shop, Stanley Cup, not a Hanley Cup. Take care of the company guy. It's good to have goals each week.
Yeah, I wonder how many negative points the Donkster has from Odyssey.
He just, every month, it's minus 30 from his account is what it is. It's going to do it for this edition of the Daily Tip on BetMGM Network. For Chelsea Messenger, I'm Michael Jenkins. Thanks for being with us live across the country from 6 a.m. to 9 in the East. We will see you tomorrow morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.